Hello, welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you in association with Unibet. I'm Callum Helliwell, standing in for Sam, who is enjoying a wedding today and for the rest of the week. I think it's one of those 4 or 5 day events, which are just ridiculous. But either way, having a good time. So I'm stepping in and we will try and find you some winners on what should be a good weekend of racing. I'm not on my own, though. I'm joined by Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson as well. Graham, firstly, I hear you're in quite fine form. I saw you had nearly a treble up only yesterday.
Yeah, it's going quite well at the moment, Cal. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, last week was superb as well. I mean, I hate to, after time too much, but and there were some really good winners at Royal Ascot. So long may it continue, Cal. Fingers crossed.
Keeping our fingers crossed. Johnny, how was your Royal Ascot and are you feeling the Royal Ascot blues?
Royal Ascot was pretty mixed, end up near enough levels. You know, it's one of those where a couple of results just gone your way, a couple just went against, and it was enjoyable, but unfortunately nothing to write home about. But looking forward to more good racing this weekend and hopefully get a few more winners.
Well, we will try and do just that. Ed, I hear you and I will be gracing Chester Racecourse on Saturday afternoon for apparently 8 races. I personally have not looked at any of them, but I'm sure you'll be more across the field than I certainly will be.
Yeah, they've got a couple of races that were called off a few weeks ago. The Queen Charlotte Fillies, which is a really good race. They got that. And so they've got 8 races on the card. Should be a good one. Not too hot up in Chester as well. So the heat is on for us, I think, today to pick a few winners rather than at Chester on Saturday. Hopefully the Royal Ascot form can carry on for all of us.
Well, the heat is certainly on Ed. Those eagle-eyed viewers will see that he's got a fan on in the background as he looks to beat these tropical temperatures. We will start at Newcastle, where it is Northumberland Plate Day, and we'll start with the Education Network Handicap, where we go over the 7 furlongs. And Sepido tops the market. Bobby Benoo's in there too. Caviar Cowboy, Yorkshire Tremolo, Sergeant Wilco. And it's 11-1 the rest of the field. We'll start with Graham. Let's try and continue that strong form.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Cavi. And I'm quite light one in this first race, actually. Sir Albert is the horse. Andrew Borden's got a really good record at Newcastle. He does very, very well with his runners on the all-weather up at the track. And I think that Sir Albert has probably been aimed at this race because he won at this meeting last season. Was one of several winners for Borden at the track, as I've said. And he's been steadily brought along, shall we say, this season. Yeah, a bit of a break from October to February, but he's improved with each of his runs since he came back. And last time out, he beat only one home at Chester, but he was beaten only 4 lengths, so he weren't beaten all that far. And it's one of those runs that might go a little bit underestimated. I expect he'll come on again here, Cal, and returning to the all-weather is definitely going to suit him. And he's dropping like a stone in the weights. I mean, he was rated in the hundreds when he was at his peak, and he's now down to 93. You know, he's only beaten half a link by Hank Lowe and Avicenna last year in the Flying Scotsman at Doncaster. If he can reproduce that sort of form, he's going to go very, very close off a mark of 93 here. So quite strong on this one to kick off. Calder, Sir Albert for me.
And at 11-1, what a way it will be to get the meeting started. Ed, who do you like in this one?
Well, it's a really competitive race. As ever, Graham makes a good point for his horse. I'm just going to go a bit left field. I'm going to go for a horse who's absolutely in terrible form. But he's got a very good record at Newcastle and he's been a very, very good horse. And that's Witch Hunter from Richard Hannons. He's better at 7 furlongs than he is a mile. He's probably better maybe on the all-weather or certainly at Newcastle than he is on turf. He's been running in some big handicaps lately. His mark has gone down significantly. I think he's running off his lowest ever handicap mark. He was a Group 3 kind of top handicap horse in years gone by, but I think he's running off 96, which will be a career low mark. Now, you have to forgive him his last 4 runs, but he's around about 33-1, and he's got a fabulous record at Newcastle. If you look at his Newcastle record, Callum, he's 6 runs, 2 wins, a second and a third. And when he has lost there, he ran it in March or April this year. He finished way out at the back, but that was over a mile. He's better over 7. He does need the brakes to come at the right time. He needs a fast run race. He needs to be held up. But if he can come back to form, he's definitely in with a chance on a track that he goes very, very well at. It is a difficult race, though, and that's why we're going our flagship offer, which is money back second or third. And also, you can take advantage of an extra place in this race. There's lots of competitive handicaps this weekend, so we've got a lot of extra place races, and this is the first one. But Witch Hunter, a speculative bet, Callum, but be around about 33-1, and he likes the course.
Yeah, interesting to see they've not put an apprentice on him either. I remember Tyrese gets on really, really well with him, but they've gone for John Fahey on this occasion. And yes, if he gets the breaks, he does love it at Newcastle. And again, at a massive price with those extra places on offer as well. Get stuck into it with Unibet. And Johnny, finally, who do you like here?
Yeah, thanks, Callum. I'm going to go for horses just going to be having their second run over 7 furlongs. And that is Sergeant Wilco with Sam James on board for Kevin Ryan. He'd won at Newcastle before, put up some decent performance, and it was a little disappointing. He's now come down from a mark of 92, and he'd been put up £2 for the last run, where he was just beat by Brighton Boy, who also reopposes here. But Brighton Boy's gone up again since, and they're better at the weight. So I think the draw's going to be a big factor. They're both drawn high, which is where you want to be at Newcastle. Over 7 last time at Thursday for the first time, it was a bit... Sergeant Wilco was a little bit unlucky to not win. The concern is he does like to make the running, which isn't always straightforward at Newcastle. But he's drawn on the right side, and if he can get into a good rhythm on the front and things go his way, I can see him running a huge racer.
That certainly makes a lot of sense there, Johnny. Three really interesting selections for opening races, all at very decent prices as well. We move on to the 210, the Chip Chase. It's a Group 3, and we're going over the Stiff 6 at Newcastle. Diligent Harry, who loves this meeting, loves this track, he's top for betting, but he's joint fav at the moment at 9-2 with Wiltshire. Marvel Man is there in at 5-1. Symbol of Honor 11-2. Noble Champion 17-2. 10-1. Heavenly Heather, remember when she won it on a huge price a few starts ago? It's 11-1 bar the field. We'll start with you, Johnny. We'll go back the other way.
Yeah, this looked a very tricky race. I thought, you know, Diligent Harry's obviously a good away the form, and you can see him running well. But the one who's been a bit of a cliff horse for me since a very impressive win at the Curragh a couple of years ago is Poet Master. And he ended up being rated 117 off the back of that, and he's now rated just 108. He's not raced on your weather before, so that's a unknown. But if he can get anywhere near, and he has been disappointing recently, but he was behind 10 Bob Tony at Epsom last time, which apparently he's a very good piece of form, it turns out. And provided he sort of comes back to that form we saw a couple of years ago, back down 6 furlongs for the first time ever, I think he's got lots of speed. Again, this way rather than a mile, I can see him running a huge race again. And he looks too big a price in what isn't the strongest of races on his previous form. He should be good enough.
Yeah, he's 11-1 at the moment, and a Stiff 6 might suit him down to the ground. Ed, who do you like in the 210?
So I love this race. It used to be, Graham might remember, it used to be run on a Friday night before the big Northumberland Plate meeting on a Saturday. And I always used to watch the old Sky Sports Racing just to watch it, because it's always been won by, you know, a horse you've been following for the season. And you just knew that it was going to win that day when you haven't backed it. And that probably happened quite a few times for me. But now it's run on the Saturday. And since it's been run on the all-weather, which is, 10 years now, I think, William Haggis has got a tremendous record in it with different horses. He's had 4 horses running it, and he's won 3 times and finished 3rd once. So Island of Life was his 3rd in 2019. But every time since, he's won it. Sense of Duty in 2022, Tiber Flow 2023, and Muttersib in 2024. And he runs Wiltshire, who, again, we talked about horses that have got turf form and or all-weather form. This horse is much better on the all-weather than it is on turf. He's 1 from 9 on the green stuff, but he's 4 from 9 on the all-weather. And I think they've been waiting for this race. I think this is the race that the shrewd stable of William Haggis has got in mind for Wiltshire. Now, he does like Newcastle, as I say. He won a couple of runs back there. But the key to this horse is that since he's had his tongue tie operation, he's won 5 races. And I think they've got to know how to ride him. He is sometimes slow away from the stalls. He has been through various expert horse whisperers to get into gear early. And that seems to have improved him a little bit. He still can be slow when he does get away sometimes. But yeah, I thought Kieran Fallon, who's been top form as the jockey, and I think William Haggis, who's already had a winner today that I saw before doing the podcast. He's on a 63% RTF rating. I mean, everything suggests that Wiltshire's going to run a really good race in. We're going super boost in this race, which regular viewers of the podcast will know what it is. But we boost every single horse in the race to the next price once the first show comes in.
Great stuff, and look forward to seeing the super boost itself coming in there on Saturday. Finally, Graham, we've looked at Wiltshire, we've looked at Poet Master. Are you with either of them? Are you against them both?
Yeah, I agree with Johnny, would you believe? Yeah, I actually think that Poet Master's the one bringing the 10 Bob Tony fall. Who could have picked 10 Bob Tony? What a shocker he was to start off the week, wasn't he? Bookmakers probably couldn't believe their luck when they saw 10 Bob Tony going in that Queen Anne. But yeah, I agree with Johnny. Like, I think this horse has got a bit of pace. He's got a nice draw towards the stand side. Often the place to be at Newcastle, isn't it, Cal? You want to be up towards that rail usually. I think he'll be blasting along up there under Sam James. Nice aggressive ride. And I think he's a big old price for a horse who's got form with Group 1 winner.
I couldn't agree more. And I think you've got to take notice of the jockey as well. I think Sam James rides Newcastle better than most, the jockey that I see when I'm up there quite a bit. And I think it's a positive booking for sure. We'll have a look at the Vase next, which we haven't quite got the odds available at the moment. But I can tell you that at this moment in time, Shrimp Shady heads the betting. Believe It and You Can is there in second. Arc Zeus, Alphonse Legrande down there if we get into double figure prices. But St. Faz, Savrola, Treasure Islands, Day Trader, Fast Fred, Boxing Great, and it's 20-1 or bar the rest of them. It's the race that you get in if you can't get into the plate, but there's some nice names in there as well. I think Alphonse Legrand sticks out for plenty of people at home. Ed, you're nodding your head, so I have to go to you.
Yeah, no, I really like one here. I like the improving Believe It and You Can. He's been a fantastic servant to owners and to Alan King. He's won 7 times over hurdles and he's won plenty of times on the flat as well. He has run on the all-weather 3 times and he hasn't won yet, but that does include a second beaten less than a length at Kempton. So I wouldn't be worried too much about that. I was at Chester when he won last time out, and although he won by about 3.5 lengths, I think, beating a Solar Pass, who does come second quite a lot. I think he's been second 6 times in his last 10 outings. So although the form doesn't look as if maybe, you know, this horse is up to winning a kind of high class or a secondary high class 2-mile handicap, I think he's improving. And if my notes are correct, he looks like he's £2 well in as well. I think he's got a £5 penalty and he's been put up £7. So there's a lot going for him. And as we know, Alan King's horses are in great form. He had a nice Royal Ascot. And I just thought that there's every positive for Believe It and You Can. And there's one final stat, Callum, that I know you'll love, because I know you love these stats. William Buick riding for Alan King. He's only ridden 33 times for him this century. And he's won on 11 times of those occasions. He's actually £40 plus up profit if you had a pound on every single William Buick ridden Alan King horse. But he hasn't ridden him for 2 years. So this is the first time for 2 years that he's got on board an Alan King horse. I thought that was a really significant booking. And I think Believe It and You can win it. And I do believe it.
As you said, I like a stat. I love a stat like that. I think that's class. And Believe It and You Can, maybe we should all believe. And maybe he can just about do it for Kingy, who had a superb Royal Ascot and was in superb form in the car park afterwards for the majority of the week too. They know how to have some fun, that team, that is for sure. Johnny, who do you like here in this, the secondary race, should we say, to the plate?
I'm in agreement with Ed here. I thought Believe It and You Can would have a great chance. Won his last 2 races. Ascot form a lot of the time can translate well to Newcastle, though that is more on the straight course than the round course, but it's still, you've still got a bit of significance there, I find. And he just looks an improving horse. Things are going well. Who can forget, well, Alan King won the plate with the great Trusham. What a weight-carrying performance that was. He knows how to win a 2-mile race around the course and distance. I think there's a lot going for him. I mean, looking back to not long ago, and Graham Rodway was writing about this horse in Ahead of the Handicapper, I believe, and was a big fan of him. So it'd be interesting to see if he can get the hat trick up for us and go believe it and you can as well or not.
Looking at that, Graham. Johnny, just mentioning your pieces in the Racing Post ahead of the handicapper. Someone's looking for a little bit of a pay rise. And will you stick with Believe It and You Can, or are you going somewhere else?
Well, it's a difficult one, this, for me, Callum, because these are Racing Post ratings of mine. So I'm definitely going to have Believe It and You Can on top, no doubt about it. I mean, I had him well ahead of his mark when he ran at Chester last time. And he won well, didn't he? He was odds on that day. And I put him, whacked him up again because I thought, well, he'd probably go and win again. And he is, again, going to be coming out top. So William Buick on board, he's got an obvious chance. But the price, Gal, that's the problem for me, isn't it? I'm not really a sort of punter or tipster who's going to be putting up favourites in 20-runner handicaps around the all-weather on Newcastle. So I've got one at a big price for you, and that is Sex Appeal, who I think is a much better horse on the all-weather than he is on turf. And I think that sometimes people can forget that this race is on the all-weather. They kind of know it's on the all-weather, I think. But then they don't want to accept the all-weather form might come out on top, because I think there is still a little bit of snobbishness about turf form being better than strong, being stronger and better than the all-weather form. But if you look back over the years in this race and the plate, usually it is the all-weather horses that come to the fore. And Sex Appeal has got loads of all-weather form, including a course and distance victory last year where he beat also actually Fancy for the plate, Synergism. That was a very good run. He hasn't run on the all-weather since his last run here when he was running from a mark of 89. So he's down £3 in the weight since then. And I thought he showed his best form for a while on turf last time at Pontefract, when he wasn't beaten all that far after setting off in front. Probably stiff enough test for him around Pontefract over 2 miles, two furlongs. Back to 2 miles around the all-weather circuit at Newcastle, we know he loves. I think he's going to come right back to form here. And Danny Muscat's on. He's got a very good record at the track, Danny Muscat. I think he'll know where to go. The only worry is that he's drawn right on the inside here, Carol Sex Appeal. And usually, strangely enough, because when the plate was on the turf, you used to have to be drawn low. It was a big draw race. However, since his move to the all-weather, a low draw has really not been an advantage, and it's been more of an advantage to be out wide. I guess that as they go straight into that turn, those on the inside do tend to get maybe just short of room as they come to the bend. So stall two is a slight concern for me, Cal, but I'll take my chances at what's going to be a big old price on Sex Appeal.
Well, Graham, you are dripping in Sex Appeal yourself, and I think that mention of the low draw is really quite important. It's giving Johnny and I flashbacks to the Kentucky Derby preview we did before that big race, where low draws are where you do not want to be. Let's move on to the big one, though. The Northumberland Plate comes up next. This is a absolutely cracking race, but there has been a horse here who opened up at 20-1 and has been absolutely smashed up, and that's Circus of Rome for Richard Hughes and Finley Marsh, now currently 3-1 with Unibet. Ride the Thunder, second in at 8-1. Team Player at 10. Saint Etienne at 11s. Pridwin at 12. Spirit Mixer, last year's winner, at 12. Dancing in Paris at 12. Synergism at 12. Graham mentioned that one already. Moon Over Miami also at 12. And it's 14-1, bar the rest of the field. Let's start with Ed here. Come on, Ed. Who wins the big one?
Well, I thought this race was much more difficult than in terms of working it out than the play. I really strongly fancy Believe It and You Can in the play, in the fast. But here, there's a whole load of horses that can win. So I was just looking for a bit of what I could consider value. I mean, everyone says value, and sometimes they're not, just because they're big prices. But Spirit Mixer was 20s when I was looking at this race, and now I notice he's 12 or 14. So there's been a bit of money for him. He won it last year, Rob Hornby. I spoke to Rob at Chester recently about the horse, and he just said, yeah, they were going to retire him last year, but he kind of just has told them he wants to carry on racing. So that he's got another season. He does like this race, or let me put it another way. He doesn't know it's that race. His trainer and his connections like running him in this race. He's won it last year. He came second in it in 2022. He came ninth 2 years ago, which suggests, obviously, doesn't he, that the pace of the race, the date of the race, the style of the race, everything seems to be in his favour. He is draw stall one, going back to what Graham said. which is a slight worry. But the world back favourite is drawn stall two. So, you know, I would actually rather be drawn on a horse that might be able to get a position on the inside rather the middle to wide. Although, you know, that does have winners, as G-Rod was saying. But yeah, I really Spirit Mixer, knowing that this is the race they've gone for, knowing that I've spoken to the team about the horse, I wouldn't be surprised if they retire him after this race if he wins. So I'm hoping that he does win, but he'll be about 12 to 1. We are going extra place. I mean, it's a really difficult race. And if you do like, you know, Spirit Mixer, you've got to like the horses that finished, you know, near to him last year as well. So Dancing in Paris, when you look at the weights and the measures, he's got to have a chance too. So maybe it's a race to have two or three kind of each way bets in around about 16, 20 to 1. But I'll go for Spirit Mixer to try to win it again.
Spirit Mixer sounds like my old man just putting off retirement more and more and more, despite what everyone around him is saying. Graham, who do you like in this one? It's a competitive race on paper, but they have really steamed into this favourite, and I imagine he might go off even shorter on the day.
Well, it's a right old plot job, this, don't it? Circus of Rome. I mean, they ran it over a mile last time, Kel, you know, you're telling me that it was, you know, it had any chance of winning that day around Sandown. It's beaten a mile, the horse. And it's beaten a mile.
What a good race as well, that day, too.
What was that?
It was a really good race as well when they got beaten as well. They weren't running him in a dog and pony show. It was a proper, proper race.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's a right old plot job. To be fair, the handicapper's not fallen for it one bit, has he? You know, I mean, he's kept him on the same mark of 98, you know, but his bet performance came here last year, didn't it? Circus of Rome, fresh, that was Greg Descan, who's quite smart. So I don't think it's going to be anyone's surprise if you suddenly see Circus of Rome bouncing back to form, but he has got a dodgy draw for me in stall two, and I don't care what you say, he's been beaten 26 and a half lengths on his last two starts, and he's, you know, a short price favourite. So not for me at that price. Obviously, Synergism, I've already mentioned, was second behind Sax Appeal over course and distance last year in a racing league race. That was a good race, that. And has been trained with a race in mind almost certainly by Sir Mark Prescott, because he's got the course form. He's much better also on the all-weather than he is on turf, which I like. And he won on turf last time at Lingfield in a slowly run race where he finished quite strongly. I think he's far better than that bare form, and I think Synergism is going to run a massive race. And the other one is, this would be a story, wouldn't it? Team Player, who's ridden by Greg Fairley, who, of course, was out of the game for over 10 years, wasn't it, Cal? It was a long time, wasn't it? And then he's back. He's back, and he's right. This has been also that's propelled him back, hasn't it, Team Player? And he was really well fancied Team Player for the Chester Cup last time. I think Chester Cup was quite a good race. I was quite strongly fancied a Piece of Heaven last week at Royal Ascot. Didn't quite come off, but nothing went right for Team Player that day at Chester. He ended up behind around that tight track. It never going to be able to fret him from there, but he actually wasn't beaten that far. So he beat a couple of lengths into fifth. He's far better than that form. So, yeah, there's my two against the field for you, Cal. It's Synergism and Team Player for Greg Fairley. What a story it could be.
Yes, it'll be a really interesting story and a fun interview if Greg Fairley does win this, because you do have to ask, why were you out of the game for so long, Greg? But we won't get into that on this podcast. Everyone's taken two against the field here. Johnny, you're going to go with one or two selections here?
Well, I mean, I could probably make a case for about six of them, but we'll limit it to just the two. And I'm convinced, I mean, he's been a bit of a cliff horse for me, but he did win in March at Kempton when we did postcast for that weekend. And that is a line in the stars for Charlie Johnston. And Danny Muscat's back on board, getting a good ride at Newmarket two starts back. And I still think there's room there in the mark of running off the mark of 97. Okay, it's not a career high mark, and he doesn't always put it all together, but I'm convinced if he puts it together, then he's going to go very close on the day. And then I'd have to agree with Graham Rodway. And Team Player looks far too big a prize. He also ran well in the Chester Cup, wasn't beaten Farmers, probably was coming off two wins going into that. That was another improved effort, and it was a much better race than he'd been running in. And he should, again, he looks well treated of his mark. I think the handicap has been fairly lenient to him. because he finished fifth, even though he was only beaten 2.5 lengths in what was a good race. And I think that can often get distorted a bit, the distance versus position. And actually, he wasn't beaten far, and he should go pretty well. So team player and align the stars for me.
Loving all the confidence behind team player for sure, and align the stars, interesting play. Personally, if I was to give you two, I'd give you Ride the Thunder, who I think ran a lovely race last time behind Valiancy, who went off favourite at Ascot on his next start. And Asgard's captain, who's untried over this trip, but just loves passing horses and always leaves a little bit for himself. I think this could be the ideal sort of race for him. Dylan Kuhner's quite shrewd as well, stepping him up in trip for the first time for this contest. But we must move on to the 3:45. The final race we'll be looking at Newcastle. It's the 6th furlong. Jennings bet over 200 shots nationwide handicap, and it's a class 2 affair. And Power Fizz heads the betting at 5-2. Tuco Salamanca for the Sangster team at 9-2 next in. Pocklington at 11-2. Al Nijashi, can he bounce back to form at 7-1? 5,000-1, certainly not that price today. He's 11-1. And Rapper's Delight, for all the hip-hop fans out there, is also 11-1. It's 12-1 bar the field. Let's start with Johnny. You were the last on the last race, so you can be first here.
Yes, there's another race which looks a pretty tricky handicap to figure out, but there's, and you can make a case for a few of them, but again, with the sprint race at Newcastle, I do tend to look at the draw, and if you're drawn low and you're a short prize, I wouldn't want to be getting too involved in those. One he's got a nice draw is Cool Hoof Luke, and okay, he finished a long way behind Almirak, but that's another piece of form that's suddenly looking a lot better from Salisbury last time, as given the winner's gone on to win the Jubilee at the weekend, wasn't it? But he's got a lot of good form. Being drawn on the right side of the track's going to help. Last time he went too hard from the front, provided Rob Hornby gets a good sit on him and can get him to settle well, I can see him running a big race, and he's got a lot of good form in there. So I definitely want to be backing him. You know, he wasn't beaten by far by Diligent Harry back in January on the All Weather, and now he's a £5 lower mark, and that piece of form was rock solid. I'd like him on the All Weather here.
Yeah, he's a horse who absolutely loves an artificial surface. And if they can get him to settle, like you said, he could be dangerous. I remember him at Wolverhampton on that big day they had over there, and he tanked his way all the way around and was still an impressive winner. Finally getting a little bit of relief from the handicapper as well. Graham, you can have the next one here. Who do you like?
I like El Nijashi. He's well drawn. He's still 14. As Johnny's already said, you want to be towards the stand side, usually at Newcastle. I'll say usually because these things don't always pan out as you think they're going to. He's run twice on turf and been beaten total 1/30 lengths. So I just don't really like his turf. But if you take that last run away at York when he's well beaten behind Startled, then he's got a remarkably good profile, hasn't he? Would be coming in having won four, five, six on the bounce somewhere in that region. And he not just winning, I mean, he's winning by margins, 13 lengths, 10 lengths, 2 lengths, 3 lengths. I mean, he's got the profile of horse who was well ahead of his mark on the All Weather. Aldi Sanks has got a great record at Newcastle, in part thanks to this horse, of course. And he's sticking up Cannon Rodriguez to ride for the first time. That looks pretty significant to me. So I'll be surprised if this now Nijashi isn't nearly favourite on the day, Cal. I think that he'll pick up where he left off the last time we saw him at the track.
Yeah, underrated jockey Callum Rodriguez. Firstly, because he spells Callum with two L's, which is the correct way to spell it. None of this one L ridiculousness. And he's actually very, very good in the plate as well. Ed, who do you want in this?
Yeah, I think it could be a very good weekend for William Haggis. He's got plenty of runners on Saturday, 6. I fancy 3 of them, and this is the second. Power Fizz, a lightly raced handicapper, still plenty of improvement you'd have thought to come, has been well backed already, and we did his preview around about 12 to 2 o'clock on a Thursday. I mean, Graham suggests that his selection might go off favourite. I think Power Fizz goes off favourite. I think over the last few weekends, we've seen this type of horse attract lots of support in the market. Lightly raced handicappers from William Haggis. And indeed, a horse that runs later on in the Jersey Stakes at Royal Ascot was backed off the board as well. So these lightly raced horses that could be anything seem to be coming in for a lot of support. And a lot of them have been winning. Power Fizz is 2 from 2 on the All Weather. Bit like Graham's horse, he does seem to like the All Weather. Hasn't raced for a long, long time. Now, you know, that's probably due to the horse not being right, but you wouldn't be surprised if Wily Old Willie had got this one ready for a campaign for the midsummer. Could take this race, and then I'll notice he's in the Bunbury Cup, which is over 7. 6 is probably as sharp as he wants. He, if you go back and you look at the video when he won over course and distance at Newcastle, he passed 8 horses in the final furlong up the Stanside rail, and you would never have thought he was going to get there. In fact, the commentator, I felt, was a bit surprised he got there. So he's going to need a fast run race, which I think he'll get. And I think he's a step ahead of the handicapper. And I wouldn't be surprised if they've got the Bunbury Cup already penciled in for this horse over 7. So Power Fizz is going to be my selection here for what I think is going to be a really good day for Willie Haggis on Saturday.
Ed Nicholson waving the William Haggis flag, knife and high. We'll come back with York and the Curragh next.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? You get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcard, brought to you in association with the Racing Post and Unibet. We're looking at York and the Curragh. York on Saturday, Curragh on Sunday. Let's start at York in the 155, the Albasti Equiworld Dubai Mile Handicap, where Zena Storm and Tom Marquand head the market at 5-1. Golden Strike in there at 11-2. Deliquent in there at 13-2. Delinquent, or I should say, in there at 13-2. And Death Sight in there at 15-2. Wild Nature in there at 8-1. Frankie's Dream 8-1. And it's 12-1 bar the field. We'll start with Ed. My pronunciation for a few of them was diabolical, so if I did say anything wrong, please feel free to correct me.
Well, again, I think this is a difficult race. We're going extra place. Obviously, it'll be 5-1, 4-1 the field. Plenty of options here. William Haggis once again has the favourite with Zena Storm. But on this occasion, I'm not going for William Haggis. There's a horse here who isn't sexy, Callum. I know we talked about Graham being a bit sassy early on, but there's a horse here who just doesn't have the sex appeal, but he has the win appeal. Frankie's Dream. He's been a winner at 5 furlongs twice, 6 furlongs twice, 7 furlongs twice. And now he runs over a mile and last time out a mile one, and he's still getting placed and running well. He is a sensational horse to own and train. Jenny Candlish's horses remain in fantastic form. She had a winner today, Thursday morning at Nottingham, I think it was. And she's now had 4 winners from her last 5 horses she sent out. She's in really good form. And Frankie's Dream, he's a horse you've got to get right because he does pull, but he remarkably still finishes his races. And so I can see why they've, you know, raced him over 5, 6, 7 and a mile. But last time over a mile 1.5, he ran really well behind, I think it was behind Physique. Physique ran close to him. And then Physique recently won at Newmarket really easily. I just thought he is going up in the handicap. He is back down to a mile from mile 1. On a course that should suit him. He's run 3 times at York. He's won once and been placed once. I just thought it was a big price at 9-1 and a value bet. I'd probably back him each way if we get a bit more value, but the extra place makes that interesting because I can't see him not running on. He might be a horse that will always find one just a little bit too good for him, but he's a winner. He's won plenty of races in his lifetime. All sorts of distances. So, yeah, Frankie's Dream must be a dream to own, and hopefully it'll be a dream to ride for Clifford Lee, who rides him for the first time on Saturday.
Well, Ed, he might not be sexy, but how sexy do you have to be to win a 0-90 Class 3? You don't need to be too sexy to win a Class 3. So, yeah, who cares about sex appeal? Frankie's Dream, he's done it at every distance. Can he do it at the mile at York? Johnny Pearson, who would you like in this one?
I had a I'd looked through this race, Callum, and I decided I'd like absolutely none of them to be betting on. So I'm gonna probably pass it over to Graham Rodway for his views on the race, and hopefully he can be a bit more enlightening than me.
Too difficult. I thought it was too difficult as well, funny enough, Johnny. I thought maybe Golden Strike, is that the horse, I think his name? I thought they had a chance. But I thought if you come to me, Cal, I was going to throw straight to Johnny and say too difficult. And Johnny did exactly the same back to me, and we didn't even discuss doing that. It's weird, isn't it? So this race must be impossible. So don't bet in it.
Avoid it like the proverbial plague, unless you're a fan of Frankie's Dream. And let me tell you one thing, and you can clip this up and put it on socials if he wins. If you are backing Nostrum, give your money to charity. It will do better and will do more good for the world than backing Nostrum, who will probably now go on and absolutely bolt up. But I couldn't have him in a month of Sunday. Let's go to the 225. This is a proper horse race. This is the Albasti Equiworld Dubai Dash Handicap Class 2. You've got to be a bit sexier. Never So Brave has the marquee's even money favourite. Sabre Strike making a quick return, having been disappointing at Ascot. Kirak, Group 1 runner, remember. Chicago Critic in at 12. Royal Velvet, they're 22s to 1. Royal Velvet, who I absolutely adore. And Balamkara is there at 40-1. The outsider. Can anything beat Never So Brave, Graham?
Yes, I think that Sabre Strike can beat him, Cal. I mean, I thought this was one of the bets of the day last Saturday at Royal Ascot. And, well, he was disappointing, was he? At home, I don't think we can put it any other way, really. They punted him like he couldn't possibly lose. He went off 11-10 favourite for the jersey, didn't he? On the back of the fact that Haggis had just won the Jubilee Stakes with Al McCam, and all week Haggis had had Sabre Strike in the Jubilee and suggested that maybe he was the one to be with out of his runners. So I don't think there's any doubt that William Haggis thinks this is a Group 1 animal, and that he probably thinks we didn't see the best of him last week, hence why we're seeing him back out so quickly here. And even if he performs to the level that he showed when he won the King Charles Stakes at Newmarket, I think that should probably be good enough, because Never So Brave has run so poorly all season, hasn't he? I mean, if you fancy Never So Brave, you're really banking on him coming back to last year's form, when of course he won Group 1 at this track, didn't he? And if he does return to that form, then he's got a huge chance. But I would much rather back the horse that I know that we've seen quite recently show some smart form, and of course he's far more unexposed and open to improvement than Never So Brave. So I think it's a match, and I'm taking Sabre Strike.
Brave with Sabre Strike. Johnny, you didn't have a pick in the last race. You must have one here.
Yeah, I mean, I would be dead set against Sabre Strike here. He won well at Newmarket, but it didn't blow me away. And he disappointed a bit at Ascot, yes, but he also, I don't think, would have been good enough regardless. Okay, he's only had 3 runs. There's room for improvement there. But you look at the form and you think, Never So Brave and Kirak, yes, they don't necessarily do as well as they can, but they've got much, much stronger claims than Sabre Strike. Chicago Critic, I'd arguably rather be with than Sabre Strike, especially at the prices. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to back Never So Brave at the prices, but he won a Group 1 over course and distance last year. He's the most likely winner of the race. And Sabre Strike's got an awful lot of proving to do. It's about the price he is, I'd be dead set against him.
Love that, Johnny, taking on Graham. We don't like the Sabre Strike. Ed, do you like Sabre Strike? Do you not like Sabre Strike? Are you keen on any of the others?
No, I really like Sabre Strike. I was really interested to have a look at the record of William Haggis horses when he runs them within 7 days. Because it's a very un-William Haggis thing to do. And actually, when you look at it, it's not that successful with horses that run in handicaps or maidens. But when you look at horses that run in group races from William Haggis' stable, having won within 7 days, it makes interesting reading. This century, he's had 16 horses that have won a race and then run in a group race within 7 days. He's had 4 winners, plus 750 to a pound level stake. Hasn't happened for some time. Last horse was Bullet Point, 2025. When he won the Clipper handicap at York and then ran in the Strenzel. 2 days later. And he's done it with Wiltshire, actually, who runs at the other meeting. That wasn't successful. Tiber Flow, he won the chip chase and then he came third in the Coral Charge. But Hurricane Iver won the Portland handicap and then 7 days later won a Group 3 at Newbury. So, you know, he doesn't do it often, but it's interesting that he's doing it. And why is he doing it? If he thinks his horse could be a Group 1, why? And he's well known for looking after his horses and pinpointing events and running towards them over the months and the season. I'm just surprised that he's done it. I think it's probably because there aren't too many 7 furlong Group 3s, Group 2s in the calendar. And he sees this as an opportunity. And I also think that he was disappointed with Sabre Strike at Royal Ascot, as Graham has alluded to. I think they obviously think this horse is much, much better than Group 3 class. And he can pick this up. So, yeah, I'm really intrigued as to, I'd love to hear from William Haggis on the day, you know, as to what his thought process was with this horse and why he's come today or on Saturday with him. But I think he's got the potential to be much better than Group 3 myself. And I just thought there's one horse to beat. And that horse has been disappointing so far this season. So I actually think this horse will go a favourite, William Haggis. And I think it'll be a good day for the stable.
I'll tell you why they're running him. They did their conkers on him at Ascot, trying to get their money back here in at York. I mean, gee, they were confident about Sabre Strike, weren't they? The horse, I've never seen so much confidence going into a jersey, but I liked Into the Sky, who might still be running now. In my infinite wisdom of getting too excited about the Never So Brave Race, we've actually missed out on the 225, so we should have a look at the Dubai Dash. Fortification is your favourite at night, around 9-2. Nana's Shadow is second in. All Thoughts is there as well. Our Cody, Stargaze, Manatee Memas, who read such a massive reputation on his debut run. And then She's Got a Brother, and it's Schrodinger's Cat around 12-1 and Bar the Rest. So not the easiest of handicaps here, Johnny, but where would you likely go?
Yeah, there's a couple in here that have interested me. One of them is the Irish trained All Sorts for David Marnane. The stable's been in really good form this season, and the horse won twice, once at Dundalk on your weather and once at Cork. And last time he ran at the Curragh, I was really keen on him. But he came third by neck in what's, to me, is actually a pretty strong piece of form. He's gone up £2, which isn't ideal, but I still do think there is more work. There is more room with his marker. And I think definitely has a potential to be rated higher than he currently is. You know, you had one in there, Ipanamar Queen, that day. He was fifth in the race to Bacchio one at Ascot, which actually isn't a bad run given how that race panned out. And I think you'd have a really good chance. And then the other one would be She's Got a Brother. And our sprint handicapper is quite keen on the horse. And it was a step forward last time, and she's definitely over-raced. And then it was a pattern race back down to handicap here. He's got to have a good chance. And they're the two I'll be with her.
Ed, are you keen on one of these, or is this a race that you'd like to avoid?
No, I like one here. I like Fortification towards the top end of the market. But one of the reasons for liking it is that the race he ran in last time, I despite getting lambasted by Keith Melrose for napping something in a 22-runner handicap, York, it almost won Red Spell's Danger, who came second at 7-2. And that was behind Thunder Call. And this horse was behind those, but only half a length and half a length. And that was a good run. That was an improved... A lot of horses in that race were improving individuals, three-year-olds. And this horse seems to be on the top of his game. That probably was his best run. He might possibly be better at six. It might possibly be better at 6 furlongs eventually, because he was running on that date and he will need a fast pace. But I think he'd probably get it here today. And he's got a really good York form. He's run three times at York, been placed once and won once. He has got a very good record at 5 furlongs, having said that he might be better at six eventually. But I think he's been second 2 times and third 2 times from 8 runs at this distance. And on the good firm ground, if they go really quickly, of course, he ran really well last time out as well. I thought he had a good chance, but he probably is, to be fair, a bit skinny at a price, 4.9-2. but he would be my selection, because I think those two horses that beat him last time out are really improving individuals, and all three of them were put up by the handicapper for what was a smart performance by each of them, I think.
Certainly was a very smart performance indeed. No love for Nana Shadow so far. Graham, do you like that one?
No, not with that one, Cal. I like Mighty Magnus. Yes, he was very mighty last time when he won at Musselburgh. He was held up off a strong pace that day, and he came through and, I thought he won quite tidily. The BHA handicapper and our sprint handicapper about a bit of a disagreement here, you know, because the BHA handicapper whacked him up, I think, 5 or 6 pounds, and our handicapper only had a similar sort of amount up. So let's just say the BHA handicapper rated that performance a lot better than our handicapper did. We'll see who is right. I think the BHA might be right on this occasion, Cal, because I am backing Mighty Magnus.
Like that, plenty of value in Mighty Magnus's price as well, Michael Dodds and Mark Wynn, who the jockey who certainly is well worth getting behind as well. Seb Sanders, who notoriously doesn't like many jockeys, really likes Mark Wynn. Okay, team, one more race to go, and it's a corker. On Sunday, we have the Irish Derby at the Curragh. I know they're struggling to get people through the door, but this looks like it could be a corking race, with Benvenuto Cellini hopefully able to handle himself in the stalls at the top of the market. But Rahib, who was last seen winning a classic trial, comes back to the race course and looks a very dangerous proposition with this year's Derby winner, Christmas Day, also in the field as well. I'm going to start with Ed and work my way through. Ed, it's over to you.
Yeah, it's a great race. We'll be watching it, but I don't really have a betting opinion on it. I think the favourite is there for the run before at Chester and the reputation that he's obviously got, but whether he should be 6-4, I don't know. It'd be interesting what the boys... the form experts think. Christmas Day is the reigning champ, as it were, having won on completely different ground at Epsom. And I think that was the key. The money came for him when they knew that it was going to be a little bit softer than it normally is. So I would be worried about the faster ground for Christmas Day. He's obviously a top-class horse, but you just get the feeling that maybe he's not... Maybe he needs a bit of cutting the ground. If I was going to have a bet, I'd back James J. Braddock. That would be the one I would take out of the Derby itself. But it's going to be really interesting because, you say, Rahib's done nothing wrong, lightly raised horse, and his second favourite, and goes over there from Owen Burrow stable with a live chance. So I'm actually really interested to hear what the other two chaps think. I think the Benvenuto Cellini probably deserves to be favourite, but he looks a bit short to me.
Let's hear what the other boys have to say. Graham Rodway, we'll start with you. Is the favourite too short?
He's definitely too short for me, Cal. Yeah, I mean, we had this ridiculous situation in the Derby where he was declared a non-runner, where he actually ran, and it made no sense to me. They were hinting afterwards that if he'd won the race, he would have kept it. So you could back him and be declared a non-runner, but if he'd won the race, he would have kept it. So you could never be on a loser. Absolute farcical situation. But nevertheless, I thought he was well held in the Derby, comfortably beaten. No great excuse, I didn't think, him coming out the stalls the way he did. And who knows, he might be slow away again. I said before the Derby, I didn't think it was the strongest of races. Christmas Day, I think, is a very average Derby winner in the line with a lot of these other Galileo-type clones that Aidan O'Brien's won the Derby with, even though he's probably not Galileo's. I think he's Camelot, isn't he, this one? But they're all the same. They're top-class, high-class animals. They fight hard. They've got great attitudes, and they try really hard, and they stay well, but none of them are actually particularly good. You know, they're just solid horses, and Christmas Day, I think, fits into that category, as does James J. Braddock, again, very admirable horse, but nothing special. So I'm dead keen to take on those at the top of the market, and the one that I like is Bunyola Bay, who's trained by Richard Hannon Britton. He's brought it along very, very slowly, only one run once as a juvenile. He's won a couple of races this year, including when taking him over to Goram Park. Last time out, he's given a very good ride that day by Sean Levy, who dictated the pace. He's got a good sort of profile for a Hannon type coming into these races. Richard Hannon's had big priced horses like this, lightly raced ones, run into places in the Epsom Derby, and Mojo Star, I think, was one of them a few years ago. And I think that this race, with all those slow, sort of tough, genuine, but nothing special horses at the top of the market, this is a race, good race for a bet, a good race that's ripe for an upset. I think Bunyola Bay might provide it, Cal.
And what a price he would be if he did provide it. Proper value to be found there. And Graham, unlike a lot of value plays that you hear on podcasts, left, right and centre, this one has some bases behind it, because I think you're right. I do not think it's the strongest crop of middle distance three-year-olds in the world. And I don't think it would take much to get some of those top horses beaten. Johnny, are you keen on Benvenuto Cellini?
Not overly, no. I mean, he could be the best in there. Very much could be, but it's a very prohibitive price based on what he's done, what he did last time out, isn't it? I mean, I can't be entertaining backing him after that. And then Christmas Day, I actually think, is being a bit harshly treated. I think he won the Derby pretty, okay, it was soft ground, and you can make, oh, X didn't run their race or Y didn't run their race, but he still won the Derby by best part of three lengths. Like, let's give him a bit of credit here. He might not necessarily be the flashiest horse, but he won the Ballysacks. He didn't run to his best in the Danzig, and then he's gone and won the Derby. Like, it's a pretty solid book of form, if you ask me. But I won't be backing him. I will be taking him on. And the one that's caught my eye ran in the French Derby behind, and he finished fourth behind Constitution River. Provided a boy named Susie runs for Donnac O'Brien, I think he's a hugely interesting runner. That was the best performance that day. He was held up, met a bit of trouble in running. And then obviously you had the Ballydoyle tactics, where the three of them made at the front of the race all the way. And if you weren't on the pace, you basically had no chance. And for him to have come from the rear, not have the clearest passage, and still finish fourth behind those three horses was very eye-catching to me and very impressive. And I think he's got a huge chance should he turn up. And I actually think Donnac O'Brien's other horse in here, provided he does go, Shyhan, would have a chance as well. He was behind Causeway last time. Probably he's bracing a bit too keenly, but that form with Causeway is looking pretty solid after he went and won at Royal Ascot last week. So they'd be the two that I'm most interested in coming here.
Look at us on this podcast putting up the two rank outsiders in the field in Bunyola Bay and Shyhan. So good luck with everyone if you want to follow either of those in what looks to be a very wide open Irish Derby, despite the short price of the favourite. Well, boys, it's about time we go and get stuck into our naps of the weekend. Best bets. According to the list, I've got to get you started. So I will go for the big race, Northumberland Plate. I think Ride the Thunder will run a really nice race. And at 8-1 with Unibet, I think he offers a lovely bit of value in a race where I cannot get behind Circus of Rome. He's been ahead of Circus of Rome, although he was getting plenty of weight from that rival that day. I thought he ran a lovely race last time out on reappearance, and I hope he can take another step forward for the Roger Varian team, and Ray Dawson is doing well for him as a jockey. So that's going to be my play here. Ed, who's your nap of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to Newcastle, and I'm looking at Wiltshire, who is 4 from 9 on the all-weathers, won a couple of times from just 4 runs at Newcastle, and runs in the Chip Chase Group 3 contest for trainer William Haggis, who might have a really good day Saturday. And he's won this race 3 times from just 4 runners since it has been run on the all-weather. I think he might win it again with Wiltshire. And that's a 2.10 at Newcastle.
Wiltshire for Ed. Johnny, who's your nap?
It's going to be the first at Newcastle, 1.32. Sergeant Wilco in the 7 furlong handicap. He's got a great chance from the draw. Everything looks to be going in his favour, provided he can settle and gets a nice position, sort of prominent in the race. He's the one to beat for me.
One for Sam James and Kevin Ryan, Sergeant Wilco. And finally, Graham, who have you got to nap for us this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I like a bit of sex appeal. 2.40 at Newcastle for me. Cal, come on, sex appeal.
Dripping in sex appeal you are, Graham. So great to hear from you. That is about all we have time for. Remember, bet responsibly. It's a big, fun weekend of racing. Looking forward to getting stuck into all the offers from Unibet as well. Thank you very much from myself, Ed, Johnny, Graham and Bella on the ones and twos. That's all we've got time for. Have a lovely weekend and hopefully we'll find a few winners. This has been the Racing Postcast, brought to you in association with Unibet.